Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you here with us every Tuesday night, especially starting at 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we'd like to begin our devotions and Bible study our services with devotion. We'll start off with song, scripture, and prayer. And we'll begin tonight with a song from Vicky Yoki. The song is Because of Who You Are.
Glory, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, I give.
time for the scripture. Brother Brian, we can't hear you. You have to take the phone off mute.
Okay, sorry. Reading from the book of Ephesians, in the New Century Version, Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. I am in prison because I belong to the Lord. Therefore, I urge you who have been chosen by God to live up to the life to which God called you. Always be humble, gentle, and patient, accepting each other in love. You are joined together with peace through the Holy Spirit, so make every effort to continue together in this way. There is one body and one spirit, and God called you to have one hope.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you. We're asking that you lead, God, and direct this Bible study, oh God, so that we can receive revelation knowledge, that we can have our eyes opened and we can see in the spiritual realm that which you're trying to get across to us here in the spirit, in the physical realm. Lord, help us to be able to take the word and parse it in a way that it will give us new meaning and it will give us the things that we need to live a life of unity as one. Lord, only you can do that. Only you can open our hearts. Only you can open our minds. Only you can give us what we need to be effective in our
personal journeys.
So we turn to you now and we ask, oh God, that you would open the doors of our hearts and you would send the Holy Spirit to empower us
right
in a way that only you can do. We thank you, Lord. We claim the wisdom and the knowledge, and we ask that you help us to walk in it after we receive it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray. Let us all say amen.
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 Amen. So my question tonight is, good evening, good evening. Let's go, let's go, let's go. For those of you who are ready to get it on into our Bible study, I'm so excited to have everybody with us tonight. So I'm asking that we would do a little roll call and find out who's on the line. And if you have a Bible with you and can read and participate, or if you're just listening to interact. So who do we have on the line tonight?
Brian from Maine is here, and I do have access to Bible Gateway online.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody?
Amen. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm just truly blessed to be here this evening. And, of course, I have my
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else on the line tonight that's going to read?
This is Eric. This is Eric. I'm here, and I've got two translations, King James and the New Living Translation, available this evening as well.
Awesome. Awesome. It looks like Britt is there, but I don't hear anything. Britt, are you on mute?
Yeah, this is Britt. I'm here. I got the NIV.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, then let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's get the Bible study on and going. So tonight is a night that we are talking about unity, protecting the church. Now, it's interesting that he talks about protecting the church. Now, I'm going to let you guys know up front. You know, I read the chapter. I enjoyed it, but I don't agree with everything that Rick Warren had to say on this passage. But we'll talk about it, and I want to get you guys' perspective on it as well. But, you know, I think there's some cultural differences in the churches I've served and his church. So so let me ask the question as we begin tonight. How do you feel about the title when it says protecting your church? How does that hit you when you saw that title? what was the first thing that jumped in your mind? Brother Eric.
I guess the first thing that jumped in my mind is that understanding a little bit about Mr. Warren is that he wasn't really just talking about the churches that we go to in our individual communities. He's talking about the church as a whole.
The universal church.
Correct.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? I love that. Thank you.
Well, for me, what? As a servant, as for me, as a servant leader, the first thing that jumps out at me is I always want to create an atmosphere, whether it be in an organism of the body of Christ or the body of Christ as a whole. I want to create an atmosphere that fosters love, that fosters healing, that fosters all the things that we need to do to spiritually be protected from the enemy. So for me, protecting my church means for me to, as a servant leader, that I always create this atmosphere where it's an exchange, okay? I have not arrived. I don't know it all. But so I want to glean from everyone that I come into contact with because it makes me a better person. So if we want to protect the church, we need to stand arm in arm. We need to have an exchange, and we need to create this atmosphere where love flows. Because where love flows, the word of God can grow. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm just listening to this, and it's so awesome. But, you know, what comes to mind, this is Chaplain Susie, and Dr. Susie, is that when I hear the text talk about the need to pull together, and one is because something happened. Paul wrote because it was something that happened that he had to fix, he had to clarify, and it was some disunity and some disharmony in a church. And so I the principles, as Eric said, are applicable to church universal, but unfortunately you got to deal with folk one-on-one in the individual churches as well. I just got a call from work, so can I get Eric and Brian to just go ahead and continue with the Bible study on page one and talk about the issues of this harmony and what that looks like, and I'll be right back because I need to take this.
This is Brian. To follow up on Pastor Susie's question, where she asked what struck us when we saw the word protect, as soon as I opened to this page, that's the first word that I saw. And what struck me immediately is, we're protecting who or what are we protecting from? Well, it's real obvious we're protecting from the enemy and all of his minions and all of his evil ways, because the church wouldn't have any problems at all if there was no evil influence from the evil and his followers. We would all be smiling. We'd go to church in harmony. We would hold hands. We would sing songs. There would be joy, and there would be no grief whatsoever if the world wasn't corrupted by sin and by attacks from the enemy. So that's what we're really protecting from. In the end, we're also protecting ourselves from ourselves because of our evil desires. And we're protecting the church from other evildoers within the church. But the core, the actual engine of all of that reason we have to protect is everything that comes from the evil one.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
Well, this is Eric. And all that's true, but the other part of that is human nature, that which is within us, if we are not grounded in Christ Jesus, is sometimes we got to protect the church from ourselves because of the desires that we have and that we see. And when you start to look at that, it's talking about protecting your church from disharmony and falling out with folks. And I mean, I'm sure some of you know folks who have walked out of churches because they had a disagreement or things didn't go the way that they expected them to go or wanted them to go, and felt that they needed to leave and go to another church. And the same thing happened, and then go to another church and the same thing happens. And I always look at that, well, the one common denominator is you. So are you creating all of this chaos in the places that you're attending? And so protecting the church, I think when we read through the whole part of the chapter of the book, we realize that we're really talking about how do we get along with our brothers and sisters that we are in fellowship with on a continuous basis. And I just want to add one other thing that God says through the Psalms in the Old Testament, found in chapter 6, to see how God really feels about this. This, of course, is a Solomon writing, and it says that they're starting at chapter 6, verse 16. There are 16 that the Lord hates, no, 7 things he detests: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord among brothers.
Those are powerful words.
Amen. Yeah. So we know that God really wants us to be in fellowship. He doesn't want his church to be disjointed, because in being disjointed in our churches gives the world a reason to distrust God and Jesus' saving grace. Because I will tell you wholeheartedly that a lot of folks, when we tell them that we are Christians, really want to see how we live and how we treat each other before even beginning to want to identify at accepting Christ as a personal Savior. So Paul clearly says that the church needs protecting, and we are the ones as brothers and sisters to make sure that we do our part in making sure that happens. And so I guess I would ask that the question today is you know, can you give an example of where you saw the church being in disharmony and what you tried to do about that?
I've been, I was saved in specifically October 1979, and right away started going to a Christian church. Was raised Roman Catholic, so standing there and singing to the top of my lungs with a bunch of strangers was really strange, but it was one of the most awesome Sundays I've ever had in my life. I'll never forget the vibrations of feeling that place just roll. And I'm like, well, I'll be coming back here. And then after the service, one of the very first things which happened, a total stranger walked up to me to say hello and shake my hand. My spouse didn't go to that church with me because, you know, she wasn't ready really for that change. So I had gone by myself. And the person introduces me and starts talking. And then within about a minute, starts talking about how the music is getting too contemporary and there's too much, you know, he was disappointed that there were drums and all that. And I'm like, you know what? That's what kind of made this, that's what kind of made the worship singing for me, you know? And I was like, why is this stranger backbiting about the drums? Yeah, after this awesome service. But I've seen that kind of behavior over and over again, church after church, circumstance after circumstance. And I think it just goes to show that some people just can't hold their tongue about really simple things that are not very important and are certainly not important in the broad context.
Amen. Hey, Brian. This is Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try and explain something here, and I think that you'll understand why you find drums and everything else in our churches. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, and when he lifted his staff and parted, and the Red Sea parted, and they walked on dry ground. When they got to the other side, if you read in the Bible, it says that they had a party. And it tells you what the instruments were that they had. And one of them was a drum and tambourine. So it's not unusual for you to find instruments in a church. That's just another
Amen.
Way of celebrating and adding to what God has already given us.
That's
so
right.
Don't
I,
be shy.
I had never seen or heard drums or loud instruments in church music, and I was impressed. For me, that was the bomb. I mean, it was great.
Right.
What struck me is this gentleman who approached me after was a regular attender,
mm-hmm.
and he was disgruntled
right.
that they had added, louder instruments to the church, and he was struggling with that. He wasn't sure if he was going to be able to stay at the church, for that reason. I'm like, son of a gun, give it some time. And this was fun. This was a blast today. I mean, I was all excited.
But understand that when people become accustomed to certain traditions, they don't want to see those in. And when they change, it causes
Amen.
A friction within themselves. And I'll use myself as an example. I was in church service and used to, traditional songs and all that stuff, and then had our youth do a program that dealt with rap, and I'm not a rap guy. I'm just not. And I sat there and I was just outdone. But before I left that service, the Lord said to me, so who are you to determine how somebody can praise me? Just because that's
right.
not what you like doesn't mean that it's not reaching someone.
Amen. And amen.
And
amen.
So then I began to realize that, okay, so that really wasn't important.
Amen.
That's true. And you have to remember that I grew up Roman Catholic and was forced – did I say forced? Yeah. I was forced to go to church every Sunday and sit through. And so I was used to people singing with their mouth closed.
Gang, I'm going to have to step off here for a second. I need to take a call real quick to my wife. And I need to find out if everything's okay. I'll be right back.
It's Happy Susie Ben. Well, I guess we're at the place we're still talking about unity.
Amen.
Yes.
Brother Brown, we're still talking about unity. You know, one of the things that showed really, have any of you seen the movie The Shack? It's an old movie, long time ago, The Shack. And in the movie, it exemplified the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the actors in the movie, it was really interesting. There was a black woman that played God, and they had Jesus was a Jewish guy that wore denim overalls, just laid back. Then there was a Holy Spirit who was an Asian woman. It just total diversity. And Octavia Spencer was who they call Papa. And the Holy Spirit was, like I said, was an Asian woman. They called the Sarayu. And then the Jewish guy served Aviv Alush was Jesus. And they played these roles. And the whole idea was how well they got together and how well they worked together, that each one of them were in harmony with the other and all working to give clarity to the person who was in dissonance because he had lost his daughter. But the shack showed the harmony of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the model that we have, is that as we strive to be a part of the community of God, the Lord prayed, Lord God, I would have that they would be one as you and I are one. And it's that sync, that brotherhood, that sisterhood, that as we express a relationship upwardly with God, horizontally, vertically with God, that we would horizontally be able to create the expressions of harmony with one another. And frankly, if we don't have harmony with one another, we probably don't have it with God. Well, amen, Walls. Ain't nobody got to say nothing.
Well, this is Eric.
No, amen.
If we don't have harmony with the brothers and sisters that we claim that we are in partnership with, then we can't have harmony with God.
Amen.
I mean, you can't. They can't be exclusive. They have to be in sync.
But we want to think, Brother Eric, we want to think that we can say we don't love this one over here because of the color of their skin, and we can call people out of their name over here because we choose to see them less than somebody else, and say it's okay, being evangelical, that we can treat people who are of difference less than. Excuse me, you don't have a complete love for God if you can treat other people that way.
Amen.
Because it expresses itself in relationship. It expresses itself based out of the love that you have for God. It's how you treat one another. So I think we have to grow. We have a lot of growing we have to do in understanding harmony. So when I went to the text and I looked the text up in the Greek, it said clearly the word unity was to be one with another, to be one with the other. So when we look at the book, Rick Warren tells us there's nothing more valuable on earth than God's church. We just read a couple of weeks ago talking about that, you know, we belong to a family, and it's God's family that's the most important thing, and we have that responsibility to be in fellowship with the family, to protect them, to love them, to make every effort to keep unity in the spirit and the bonds of peace. Now, I don't know how well that's realized. I want to hear from you guys. How is that realized in your communities? Amen.
So it's not realized in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try as churches and communities that I've lived in, and I've lived in quite a few over the years, we try to come together around certain events like a Christmas service, a Palm Sunday service, something like that, or a Martin Luther King Day, breakfast, luncheon. We put on these airs that, you know, oh, we're all in unity and we're this and that. But truly the most segregated time in our country is church service.
Well, 11 o'clock. Whoa.
Well, it varies because some places go at 10, some go at 11. So any time Sunday morning. How about that?
Any service time.
Yeah, yes. Any service. And that's a problem, because what we find is that we say we love God, we say we love the church, but yet we only love that part of the church that works for us and that looks like us and that resembles us. And if you don't, then we criticize you because you don't this and you don't that. And God is looking at all of us like, y'all missing the boat. And then we wonder, then we truly wonder why our world is in the shape that it's in. Because we're not doing our part. And we're not doing the basic part as getting along and showing that we love God by being in fellowship with each other.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
What are you thinking, Britt? I hear your wheels turning.
I'm trying to be quiet today, Dr. Susie. Shoot.
No, brother, you can't do
no,
that.
I know she's dragging me in, so here we go. Hang on to your seatbelt. Well, I come from a divided family. Some of you already know my story, but those of you that are new on here, I want to tell you. My father was a Baptist minister. And when he wasn't appointed as the senior pastor at our church, he went out to the Apostolic Church and became a minister there. My mother was a Sunday school teacher, Baptist Sunday school teacher, who taught me everything that I know, because my dad was so confusing, people would come over and they would argue every Sunday. So that got me to reading the Bible and to understanding what I was reading. And keep in mind, this time when I was coming up in grade school, and we were being taught to understand the words that you read. And I think a lot of problems came from people who did not really fully understand the words that they were reading. And so you get people that are disenfranchised with their churches and the people that go to church, and they'll leave and they'll form a little group and they'll start another church. And that's how Baptists became Methodists, and Methodists became Church of God in Christ and stuff like that. Everybody has their little differences that they, how they want to see service ran and everything else. But when you get to the basics of it, and I've thrown this out many a time, when you get to the basics of religion, religion is not called by Baptists or Methodists or any other kind of name. When we talk about our religion, we talk about Jesus Christ.
We're talking about
and the
you,
thing is, we have to
amen.
Yes. What do we say when we baptize? There's one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. So how is it that we have all these churches and everybody seems to think they're in charge of everything, just like when Jesus met the woman at the well? The whole thing comes down to it. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you are willing to pick up that Christian flag,
amen,
and wave it high over your head in spite of all dangers that come into your path, God's going to protect you. You can't be better.
So,
one church can't be better than the other church, because if you really believe, you only got one book. There was only one book that was written for us.
So, Brett.
Go ahead.
So the reality is that as we're looking at this, we're trying to see harmony. And so,
right,
as you're saying, that there's disharmony because we have all the different religions and we can't come on one accord. But Rick Warren tells us,
in
I'm
order
to move on to the next portion.
Go ahead.
Rick Warren is trying to get us to see that in order to be that we need to be in fellowship, we need to keep the unity.
Amen.
But as we do so, the ways in which we do that is that we have to focus on what we have in common and not our differences. That's what Rick says. But again, I want to hear what you all say about that, because I'm not necessarily sure. I think that's just the only way to do it. So I want to hear from you all, Brian.
Dr. Susie,
I want to hear from.
No.
Go ahead, Brett.
Dr. Susie, this is Brett.
I want you to talk to me. Go ahead.
Okay. As a religious group, I don't care what you call yourself, if we're preaching out of the same Bible, how can your church be better than mine? And everybody must be better than somebody else. That doesn't get you closer to God. What gets you closer to God is when you come together in fellowship, and when you start intermixing each other and learning about the word, the true word, not what you think it is, not what you want it to be, but what God has spoken about. That's when we come together. That's
so
how we
protect
our church, by speaking the truth.
Tell me how we focus on what we have in common and not differences. And what do you think about that, Eric? When we talk about what we have in common, does that work with you and not on our differences?
No, well, see the okay, for real, right? Okay.
For real, right?
Okay, so that's what Rick tells us, but that's not what we do. No, we look at the church and say, well, yeah, they believe in God, they believe accept Jesus as their personal savior. They do that, but that's all we do, because then we focus on how we're different, on how we dress differently, how our service is different, how our preacher preaches. How this, that, and the other. And the reason I'm telling you this, because like I said, like you, Dr. Susie, you know, I've lived in a lot of different places in 30 years. I've lived in a lot of places. I've attended a lot of church services. I've been a member of a lot of different churches. And what I come to find out is that they all have the same problem. We don't think they do, because we're always just looking at where we are. But all of them got the same problems. They all got people that are in there gossiping. They all got people in there that think that you and your area of operation shouldn't be doing that, because they would be better, and they ain't necessarily better, but they think they are. And they talking to the pastor about it, or whoever's in leadership.
Come on.
They all got the same problems. And what Rick is saying and what God is telling us is that, listen, you have a relationship with me vertically, and be truthful about it and about the relationship that you have horizontally. And if you stay vertical with me, then I will help you with the horizontal piece, so that you can then go out and live
Come on.
The way that I need you to live, so people will see the light and know that I am who I say I am.
Amen.
So that's exactly right. We don't focus on what we have in common, other than to give it lip service, but we are always showing the differences and making them the forefront of the confusion.
That's right.
This is Dr. Susie, and I just want to get something clear. And you know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody who is of a different ethnicity. But it is just that the majority group prefers it when we focus on what we have in common and not in what we are different. I don't agree with that. What I agree with is that we look at the fact that issues of power and privilege, and it manifests itself everywhere you go. Somebody's wanting to be in power. Somebody's trying to use their money to swing around, to be powerful, to give preferences or power positions or leadership or whatever. But the bottom line is, if we can see that we're different, I'm talking about folks that are from the same ethnicity, you need to see that you're different from the person sitting next to you. Your values, your customs, this is what I do. This is my doctorate. We are all different. We take in all different stimuli. Brothers living in the same house, sisters living in the same house with brothers. We are not the same. But if we could see and value our differences and celebrate those and utilize those to help us be the mosaic that God created us to be and share that knowledge of God and one another, then we would really have something going on. So I don't agree with just focusing on what's common.
Amen.
I'm just the opposite there. I don't agree with that. But I really think that if we could understand who we are and come to know and value individuals as they are, value in who they are and what they bring to the table. That's the whole point of being brothers and sisters in Christ, because God gave you something when you accepted Christ that he didn't give me. So when we come together and see those differences, we can use those differences to build and edify the church and who we are. So I'm through preaching for a moment.
No, you're fine.
So I want some feedback. I want feedback on that. What y'all think about that? You ain't got the degree?
This is Eric. I'm going to give you a little bit of feedback, and I'm going to do it scripturally. Because I read that scripture. I read this scripture last week. No, because she's right. She's absolutely right. But we can't focus on our differences because we become our own biases get in the way, because I don't like your differences because you can sing. I don't like your differences because, you know, you've got leadership skills. I become intimidated or I become, you know, jealous because of all that you can do. So I can't focus on your differences because they intimidate me or I don't like them or whatever the reason is. So, but unless we within ourselves and I'm going to read this again. This is from 2 Peter. Chapter 1, starting at verse 3. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by the same mighty power, he has given us all of his riches and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desire, and that you will share
Amen.
In his divine nature. And here's the most important part. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence
Amen.
Leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patience and endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads
Amen.
To love of other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The
Amen.
More you grow like this,
so,
the more you will become productive and useful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
But, Brother
Amen.
Eric,
but those
you can't value
who fail to develop
me.
These virtues are blind or at least very short-sighted.
But you can't value me unless you accept me. And I'm not like you. And that's what I'm trying to get folks to see.
I'm not saying that that's not true, Dr. Susie, but what I'm saying to you is that I can't value you until I get right with God, that God is working with me, that allows me to be patient and be godly and to do all those things, to get rid of my isms so that I can value
Amen.
You.
Gotta do. And that's why the focus has been on love over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Love. Love, when we are accepted, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we are supposed to be new creations. When we don't become new creations, we need to ask the question, why not? That's simple. Why not? Why are you not a different person? Why are you not a new creation? Why are you not becoming a new creation? Everybody don't get it just like that. But you can't tell me that you could hate or dislike or put down and say that you love the Lord. You can't. It says in the Bible clearly that you would know by the love that they share for one another. And the only way you can love me is if you accept me for who I am. And you're not going to be able to do that unless you walk with me and talk with me and see that I'm different from you. Now, we can share our common desires once you accept me, but you can't accept me and make me be like you to just accept me. So once we have that relationship with God, that's our commonality that we operate in. But it's in accepting that I'm different because, Eric, you and I are different. We have the same ethnicity or similar ethnicity, but I still have to accept our differences. And with accepting that differences, love you with when we interact, it's with koinonia, with God in the center. God has to be the focus. God has to be the leading thing. God has to be the God. It can't be your agenda or mine.
Amen, this sister.
Amen. This is Brian from Maine. One of the things which has helped me tremendously might help us all here now. I was, for much of my life, very self-confident, very arrogant, condescending against others in many ways. But once I was saved, I noticed one very big difference. Because once I was saved, I started reading the Bible. And I started realizing, in short order, how small I am, how uninformed I was, how much I fall short to the glory of God, how corrupted I was. And I think once we take a good look at ourselves in the mirror and compare ourselves to the glory of an infinite creator and a loving savior, we shrink real fast. Once we've done that, we can start to realize that we can look at other people as unique and special individuals, each with their own characteristics, regardless of where on earth they're from, regardless of what we've lived ourselves. We know nothing about these people. So what helped me a lot to get to know people who are around me differently and start to respect them, love them, listen to them, be sensitive to their needs, was to realize how small that I was at that time.
Hey, man, this is Eric. And Dr. Susie, that's what I'm getting at is that you got a lot of people that say that they're Christians, but they're not studying the word. They're not trying to get close to God. They showing up for service, and that's it. They showing up for a Bible study. They showing up for an evening service, and everything else ain't got nothing to do with God. But if you accept Jesus Christ, because you've heard me say this a lot of times, and for the new people, and this is just it. I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I got baptized, and I went down a dry devil and just came up a wet, because there wasn't a whole lot of change until I understood that I needed to try to get in fellowship with God, which meant studying his word. It meant praying to him. It meant fasting.
Amen.
It meant, you know, going into small groups. It meant studying with other people and, you know, not just listening to the same old people I've been listening to, but actually getting more of a well-rounded perspective. And that meant going into God's word and asking God to give me the discernment. Then that would help me to be able to not criticize other people, not look down on other people, as a brother said, not think that I'm more than what I am, because I wasn't all that in a bag of chips. So, and Dr. Susan, until all of these folks who say that they love Christ start to do that, we're going to always have these same problems. Christ himself even said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Amen.
So
Amen.
It's love. It's everything we keep preaching on the Bible study is relationship. If we have a relationship with God, we will begin to have a different kind of relationship with our brothers and sisters.
Amen. And then we won't have all the chaos in our churches. Because then we will begin
Amen.
To accept us for our differences, applaud our differences, utilize those differences to build God's kingdom even further here on earth, which is our task.
Amen.
So let me read this right quick. It says, conflict is usually a sign that the focus has shifted to less important things, things the Bible calls disputable matters. When we focus on personalities, preferences, interpretations, styles, and methods, division always happens. But if we concentrate on loving each other, come on somebody, and fulfilling God's purposes, harmony results. Paul pleaded for this. He said, let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And frankly, I'm going to tell y'all, I don't think we even pay much attention to that scripture. I think we read it and keep on going. Because we, and you know, these Bible studies we've been having the last couple of days are teaching us you can't have division. I had a lady bring a gun to church, and she was, I'm the pastor. She was bringing it because she wanted to shut me up. Come on now, come on. Where is the love? Where are the peacemakers? How did I've heard of elders and deacons shooting, preachers getting shot in the church, deacons getting shot in the church.
I've seen deacons and deacons fighting in the church.
Well, Lord have mercy.
On the first pew.
At some.
You laughing, but I'm dead serious.
Oh,
I know you are. That's why I'm laughing, because it's like,
amen.
What? But the reality is this. There has to be somebody who will step up to the plate and say, this is not of God. Satan, get behind me. So anybody who ain't willing to line up and be under God's principles and God's way of living, you need to hit the road.
Amen.
We are not going to have that in here. I'm sitting in a meeting where we had $300,000 endowment, and the accounting guy took his papers, threw them on the floor in front of me, and said, I'm sick of you. Man had to be at least almost 7 foot. Not one man in the room said a thing. But he going to let this man challenge me. I'm a woman. He going to let him disrespect me as a female. Not the fact that I'm the pastor. Not one person said a thing. So the issue becomes, where are the peacemakers? God's family is supposed to be a place where people belong. God's family is supposed to be the place where we hold one another accountable. God's family is supposed
Amen.
To be the place of authenticity. God's family is supposed to be the place of care and compassion. And people are supposed to be held accountable to do that. It's not acceptable. It is not acceptable that we treat one another poorly. It is not acceptable.
It is not holy, and it's not godly.
Amen.
Go ahead. It's not, Brian. You're absolutely right. But we got to be realistic, he says. He turns right around and says, be realistic in your expectations. Now, what did y'all think about that chapter, that portion of the chapter? Once you discover what God intends real fellowship to be, it's easy to become discouraged by that gap between the ideal and the real. Well,
this is Eric. That's true. It is. And we got to be tempered about our expectations to know that it's going to take time, and I'm going to have to work extremely hard to make sure that it's being seen that way, that I am living that light. I can't very well expect something of you that I can't give myself.
Amen.
And unfortunately, we have a whole lot of people expecting other people to give something that they can't give.
Well. And if you can't your relationships at home, you sure in the heck can't do it in your relationship at church.
Well, I'm going to go one better for you,
Amen.
Dr. Susie. If you can't do it in a relationship with yourself, you can't do it with your family and your home, and you certainly can't in your church.
All right.
Because we got a lot of people lying to themselves every day and not being honest and forthright about who they are and what is going on.
Well, I mean,
this is Brian.
This is Brian. The fallen angels know how to defeat us one-on-one. They know how to defeat us in small groups. They know how to defeat us as a church, you know, as a local congregation. They know how to do that. They are brilliant beyond imagination. They're evil beyond anything we can grasp or that we can discuss. And they know how to pick us apart. The Lord knows how to keep us together and has given us all the guidance we need through his word. But we've got to constantly remember that the enemy is extremely good at what they do. It helps me to remember this time. I was at a church service. Pastor was very, very dedicated and very committed to the cause of keeping the unity. And I thought of him a lot as I read this chapter and contemplated it and prayed about it. Pastor had just done an extremely moving service about unity and how to identify discord and how to look for signals that the enemy is there among us trying to divide us. And it was a very good service. About 20 minutes after the service, I went into the kitchen to get a snack, actually to sneak a snack, I should say, and two women who had been in the service were arguing to anger about who was going to bring potato salad and who was going to bring another type of salad the following week. And I'm like, here it is.
Did you call him out?
Amen.
Brother Brian, did you call
actually,
him out?
I actually did, and they both unloaded on me. they were already heightened, and I was very gentle. I just kind of made it. Yeah, I just said, you know, just flip a coin. Oh, this is none of your business. You know, this goes way beyond that. I was like, whoa, okay.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
I've seen a lot of those in the South.
This is really serious, though, because people can't do this in their homes. Folk get divorced every day because we can't make a commitment to stay and work it out. People don't want to change. They will say, don't try to change me. And that's exactly what we have to do. If we're in the church, and the more that we stay with each other, the more that we deal and grow among conflict and all of this stuff that we encounter, we mature and we realize this stuff ain't as important as we make it. And part of who we are has to sometimes change. I need to let that stuff go because it's petty. This is where my focus really needs to be. That's some trivial stuff. Let that go. And so we need to understand that as we are growing, because we're all sinners saved by grace. We're all sinners. That we hurt each other, and sometimes we don't do it the right way. And we need to be willing to grow and to change and to be in a posture where you feel that you don't want nobody changing you, you don't want to be changed. I don't think that's a place for a Christian. I think we all have to be open for the Holy Spirit to transform us. As Eric said, we don't want to go down a wet devil and come back up one, go down the way, come up the same. We want to be growing. We want to be maturing. We want to be transforming. And as we stay in relationship and conflict, we've been in this Bible study for 15 years. We don't agree with everybody. Nobody's agreed with everybody all the time. But as we listen to each other's struggle and each other's challenge, we've learned from the other. And we've grown.
Amen.
We've changed. We're not the same that we were 15 years ago.
I certainly hope not.
And if y'all are, you better not tell me. I won't talk about you.
I certainly hope we are not all the same after 15 years of going through this and how I recall this being formed and in the foundation.
Amen.
So thank God for all of you throughout the 15 years.
Amen.
And Dr. Susie, thank you for being a steward and diligent to keep us together for 15 years, because it hasn't always been easy.
Amen.
Amen to that.
This is Britt.
So,
this is Britt. Okay, I want to interject something here. A friend of mine, well, I used to call us the Three Musketeers at Light of the World Christian Church.
Yeah, 5 minutes, Brett.
They wanted us all to be ordained at the same time. I wasn't ready because I had some other things I had to take care of first before I could allow myself to go down that path. However, after I was ordained, one of my friends called me and says, "Well, they're going to install Butch at this church in Illinois." So I said, "Okay." And we were talking, and so my friend Dennis asked me, he said, "Well, what do you think that we should do, because I'm going to be his assistant minister?" I said, "Well, first of all, you and Orville got to sit down and figure out how you're going to run the church, because there can only be one shepherd." I said, "But the best thing I would tell you to do is that on the day that you get ordained, make sure that you reinstate and the heads of all the departments of the church, because you all got to be on one accord, because they're getting a new pastor. New pastors see things differently than the way the old pastor did. And you got to have everybody on the same train. Y'all got to have the same ticket. So everybody got to get on board. And that will cut down on a lot of confusion and a lot of junk. Those that are going to leave will leave. Let them leave. God will replace them." And that's the thing that we have to understand.
This is trying to tell us, though, Brett, instead of leaving the church, we need to stay and work it out. We need to have reconciliation, not running away.
Not necessarily, okay. Pastor. The thing is, if you keep people around that don't like you and don't want you there, you're going to have problems. So let them go. God is so wonderful that he'll bring new people in. You're not going to miss those people. And it keeps you from having a headache. And the thing is that we have to understand, as we have been going through Bible study, and each step of this, God has given us a order in which we need to do A, B, C, D, and E in order to get what we need to get at the end. This is just another step. What Rick Warren is pointing out, what we've been discussing today, is another step. Eric had read a passage, and in that passage, it says you got to do this in order to do this, in order to do this, in order to do that. If you take those steps and follow those steps, God is going to bless you. But we have to keep reminding ourselves that before you open your front door to go out, you got to put on the armor of God. You already know about that.
Amen.
And don't think you're going to take two or three steps out and you're going to be free. No. You might have devils sitting right there at your doorstep waiting for you to come out. And the thing is, as Christians, we got to understand.
I can guarantee you, though, Brett, as a pastor, that every time I've had challenges, I've gotten on my knees and it strengthened me. And so I think what the text is trying to get us to see is just like with divorce. We got people who say, "Well, just get a divorce and leave." And I think the issue is, you know, we don't get a divorce and leave. That's not what God intended. God intended for us to be a family and to work it out and to try to work it out and to try to come and fellowship and love in a way that God would love. And, you know, when I look at the 12 disciples, I have to understand that there was even Judas was probably got on folks' nerves being petty with the purse.
Right.
But the issue is they grew. And I think the objective is for us to mature out of the challenges that we encounter. And I think that it's trying to teach us that if we would just go through the challenges, that our challenges will turn into stronger faith, and our weaknesses and the difficulties,
Amen.
The things we complain about, will help
Amen.
Us grow if we can stay and start to work through those things and help us mature.
Hey,
I'm not saying
hey,
that it's going to be perfect.
Yes,
yes.
Dr. Sue, this is very, let me say this because I've got to go here real quick, but let me just say this. Because I hear what Brother Brett is saying, and I guess I would remind us of this, is that we don't want to be the reason that a person wants to leave because of our actions and the way that we've acted. But if somebody wants to go because they have not matured to
they
where you
go.
Have matured to,
all
then
right.
they can go.
Yes.
Even Christ had disciples who walked away from him. He didn't try to stop them. And he asked, and remember, because he asked the 12, well, will you leave me also? And they were like, no.
Go ahead.
He did.
So,
and
we
I agree
don't,
with
but
that,
we,
but what I'm
we
saying
as
is
Christians
we got to try.
Don't, right. We as Christians don't want to be the reason that they're leaving because of the way that we've acted and the things that we've said and the way
right.
that we've not shown Christ's love.
Right.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric, for that. Thank you, Brett. And I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. We have to understand that we got to try so that we can grow and we can transform and mature. But like
Amen.
Brett said, is and like Eric said, is when people make that decision to go, then we concede. But our goal is reconciliation. I think Jesus
Amen.
Would have wanted reconciliation and not separation.
Yes.
And I think that's what he's trying to teach, is that we have to go beyond and not just like, you know, leave. No, nobody care. And then we have to choose to encourage folks rather than criticize. And we've got to refuse to listen to gossip. Gossip will kill stuff quicker than I don't know what. People will.
Amen.
And sometimes you got the enemy in the church that will create a lie. There ain't no lie around, so they're going to create some crap so that they can get some stuff going.
Well, this
Amen.
Is Eric. Not only not participate, we got to stop doing it. We got to stop spreading.
All right.
We got to stop creating.
All
and
right.
you got to stop people who are doing it. Say, look, stop.
True.
That's
Amen.
Not godly.
Amen.
And I think we're afraid
Amen.
Sometimes that we don't want to destroy relationships. And it's being the ethical Christian to hold your brother accountable, saying, you know, brother, I love you, but this is not godly. You know, we can't do this.
Amen.
So you need to, you
Amen.
Know, I'm praying with you and I'm walking with you, but this is we can't do this. So.
Amen. I've
yeah.
got to get
this
going.
Brett,
I've got to take
Dr.
care of some business.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Eric and Dr.
Thank
Susie.
You for joining us. We'll catch
I just
you
want
later.
To say, I was going to say, keep in mind that we're talking about family. So what happens to a family when the parents leave and the kids are free to do whatever they want to do? This is what happens in the church. When
yeah.
daddy leaves, then everybody's free to roam and do whatever they want to do, thinking that nobody's going to know, nobody's going to tell. But when daddy comes back, what happens? Got to get the house back in order. And that's what
well,
we do.
Well, I
want to
close
this is, go ahead.
I want to close with support your pastor and your leaders. Now, I've been leading
Amen.
This Bible study for a long time. And, you know, we need to get more people involved in teaching.
Amen.
And you guys have been around long enough to do some of the teaching and some of the leading. And you know,
Amen.
Because and it's about bringing other people. You know, it's not just about
Come
this
on.
Group. Bring some people to Bible study. And I challenge each and every person on here to bring one person with you next week. And we need to do this every week. Bring somebody different.
Amen.
Help somebody have a relationship with God that they didn't have before. Brother Brian, would you close us in prayer? And Brett, would you give us a final
yes.
Bible study closing?
Sure.
Brother Brett,
mm-hmm.
Brother Brian, would you offer a call to discipleship and to offer them to get into a Bible-believing church? Go ahead, Brother Brian.
Yes. Heavenly Father, I ask for a blessing on people who have heard our voices tonight. Father, I ask that you prod them, that you encourage them, that you empower them through the Holy Spirit within, that people who are Christian need to be soldiers. We're not here just for stuff, for money, for work. We're here to dedicate ourselves and each other to battle. We're looking for people who will learn your word, who will dedicate themselves to that battle, who will fight the fight. We're just asking for rededication of people who have become stagnant, people who have become maybe perhaps a little distracted. And we just ask that they be encouraged to refocus, that they focus on their family members who they've neglected to speak with, their friends who they're not sharing with. And Father, we just ask that they start going back to the business of building your church, of building fellowship, of creating and generating unity, that they start building it from the core within themselves, that they develop a desire for you, a desire for your church, and a deep, deep, deep drive to do what's right and to combat the enemy's desire for us, that we are able to fight back and push back the tide of evil that's spreading throughout our communities and throughout our families, that we fight back with what the Lord gives us, which is His Word.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit within us. Those are our tools and our weapons. Nothing about us will prosper, but everything we know about Him and how we apply what He's taught us is what will help us fight the enemy back. Lord, so we do look for people within the community of believers to raise up and to encourage others and start building this army back, because we can push this tide back. We can find souls who will be in heaven, and we can build the church. Father, I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So if you're out there tonight and you feel the need to accept Christ as your personal Savior, if you would say the prayer that Brother Brian has extended to you, Lord, I just ask that you receive me right now as I've accepted you as my personal Savior, as I've believed that you died and rose again on Calvary's cross. If you say that prayer right now and you can join a Bible-believing church and become baptized and continue to fellowship with us here in Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, we look forward to fellowshipping with you as you have been received into the family of God. Hallelujah. And we celebrate you as our brothers and sisters in Christ. Feel free to join us and continue to be with us. Amen.
Amen.
Brett?
I'm sorry, I had it on mute. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Hey, Brian? Brian? Brian,